good to be hungry for God, like Daniel was just leading us into there, right? But I want to know God better. And before we get into the series, if you're here today and you're like, I don't really know all this stuff that's being talked about, but I know that I'm not okay, like that's the right first step with Jesus. Saying, Jesus, I'm not okay. I've done something wrong. But Jesus, I'm putting my hope in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I believe you want to take me to be the person you had in mind when you created me, right? If you're in that spot today, you can say that right away to yourself. We can help you, right? You talk to us before you leave the service, but right away, right now, you can say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I did. Jesus, I believe in you, and I want to be with you, right? And from here on out, the rest of the service, I'm going to be thinking like, okay, here's a group of folks who have said that to Jesus. Like, I'm not okay without you, but I want to follow you. I want to do this life with you. And if you've come to that spot, the Bible talks to us about Jesus giving gifts to the people that he sets free. Piece of himself, right? And there's this Johnny Cash song called Lord, 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 where he's asking this question like, Lord, is there a place for me in serving you? And it matters for our relationship with Jesus that we do things with Jesus, right? Jesus wants a friendship with us. And a piece of how that comes about is that shoulder to shoulder, we do stuff together, right? So that idea of doing stuff together, earlier Daniel was quoting from John when he's talking about the truth will set you free. And in that passage in John, Jesus is talking about, like, if you do the things I'm talking about, if you follow my teachings, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But for any of us that have tried to do the next right thing, like, we start to come into our own shortcomings, right? And at some point, we do something that we think's right, and it hurts people we care about, and we start to think, like, do I even know what's right? Jesus inspired folks to write down what we have in our hands right now, the Bible, and it's useful to teach us, right, and to train us. And I'm going to talk to you guys about approaching it that way. Like, here's a little structure for if you're reading the Bible, that you won't just listen to it, that you'll do what it says, like James talks about, okay? This isn't the only way to read the Bible, right? But I've got a little garden in my backyard. I grow raspberries. Raspberries, when they're right out of the garden, right off the vine, they're just insanely good. I could never, you know, if you locked me in a closet, I couldn't knit together a raspberry, right? But I also know from growing raspberries for several years, like, I can put a little bit of random structure out there and help it produce a lot more. And this little structure I'm going to give you, it's not life-giving. But if you take it to what God's putting into your life, it's going to help him do more and more, right? So this next slide here, we've called it the four R's. We've been teaching it here at Maywood for a long time. And there's nothing super fancy about it, but it's request, read, reflect, react. If it's brand new to you, you can write it down or you can snap a picture of it. This idea of when you read the Bible, you don't approach it like a history book. You don't approach it like an Instagram feed. Like you're trying to get to Jesus, right? The Bible's a tool to get there, right? Like, we don't worship the Bible. We don't have a relationship with the Bible. It's a pathway to get to Jesus who saves us, right? So the request part fits into another passage in John where Jesus tells you, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, right? So we ask, like, Jesus, well, I'm reading the Bible. Please come teach me. Please come help me, right? Then you actually read the Bible, right? That's a pretty simple idea. And it's okay if you don't understand everything you read. In fact, if you think you understand everything you read, then I hope you're living really well, right? Like, you need to be doing the stuff you understand, right? The reflecting part, that's where you say, like, Jesus, what's important to me from what I just read? What do you want to teach me today? 5 years from now, Jesus might want to teach you a totally different thing from that exact same verse, that exact same chapter. But today, what's important for me? And then the number one thing of this whole list, I would say, is the reaction, right? It's like that's when you and Jesus go do something, and it's the next thing he told you to do. So he's going to be with you in it, right? If you're doing the thing he told you to do, like, you're in the right spot, and Jesus is there with you, right? Like, so that's a really good place to be, right? So we're going to practice this together. We're going to be in 1 Peter. We've got this next slide, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. It's kind of easy to remember 7 through 11, right? But 1 Peter is one of the last books in the Bible. You can look at the table of contents if you want to, or you can just start flipping from the back and you'll get there pretty soon. But it's a short book. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. If you got a Bible, please turn there. I'm going to be referencing back to this as we go. I'm only going to put the slides up once, though. So if it's in front of you, it's going to be easier to follow the sermon. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. And for those of you who took notes, or maybe just have a good memory, is reading the first thing we do in the 4 hours? No. Right, we pray, right? Or request, right? Brandon's on top of it. He's got the R going, right? Request, right? But if you don't remember the R's, that's okay. But yeah, pray is the first thing, right? So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If I pray it, then it can be helpful to me. But if I pray to be open to God to teach me, it's not going to be super helpful to Norm if he doesn't pray it too, right? Like, God's not going to charge into your heart just because I asked him to, right? Like, so you got to say this sort of thing, right? So I'm going to pray, I'm going to lead us, but you got to pray it yourself, right? So let's pray. Jesus, we want to hear from you. We need your help to obey you, but first we need your help to just hear you. Please help us hear you. Please help us to obey you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to read this passage now, and we're just going to read it, right? That's our second R, is read. So we're going to read it, all these verses. Verse 7, the end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So request, read. What's our third R? Reflect, right? Just like a mirror reflects our image, right? You look in a mirror, you look at the reflection, right? We got that Bible passage hopefully right in front of us. And I'm going to kind of hold your hand through this reflect thing today, right? So we're going to do it together. But if you're on your own, you don't have to get nearly as detailed as I'm about to get. Your reflection is looking for, like, Jesus, what's the thing you want me to know? Okay? And if he starts telling you something, you don't have to rush off to some other idea. Just hang out with him on it, okay? But I'm going to take us through most of these verses and kind of hit, like, here's some things that you might reflect on while you're doing this, right? Questions you might ask, takeaways you might have. I had the chance to sit in at Lance's small group this last week, one of the men's groups, and they read this passage, right? So I'm going to give you some of their reflections, too. So verse 7 is where we're going to start. I got this image for us. Sorry, we can go forward to the image. So hopefully you got it in front of you. You can review it. But it was talking about the end of all things are near, right? It sounds like something on like a cardboard sign, right, that you'd see on like 291 and 23rd Street or something. And somebody in our small group talked about, like, I've been really stressed because I've been reading a lot of news this week. And they talked about they'd normally try to avoid the news, but they had read a bunch and they'd gotten really stressed. But this verse talks about the end of all things are near, therefore be alert and sober-minded so you can what? Pray, right? It's this interesting thing, like Jesus doesn't say like the world's going to all be safe, it's going to all work out. He says like things are eventually going to all fall apart, right, on earth, right? But be awake, be clear-headed, not so you can solve every problem, not so you can know how to use your power or money perfectly or something. It's the first thing out of the gate is so you can talk to God about what's going on, right? So whether you read a lot of news or not, I don't really have a huge opinion on that. What I do have an opinion on is this conviction as Christians, like there's not a lot of time left for anybody is the right way to be living our life, right? And that it matters that we're connected with God, right? So we need to be praying. When there's a problem, praying about it is an important thing. Having a clear mind and clear eyes to see what's going on and getting a conversation with God going is the right first step, okay? So as you're reflecting for that guy in that small group, that was something that really jumped out to him, right? For you, if you're reading your Bible tomorrow morning and something jumps out and it fits what's going on in your life and an anxiety you have, like that might be your thing for the day, right? But we're going to keep moving forward. So verse 8 has this idea of somebody who's tired, right, is what I got up here. But when you read 8, it talks about love each other deeply. And in the class I talked about, this was challenging to me, right? Like loving other people deeply, it says this huge compliment about it, right? Like it covers over a multitude of sins. The idea that like you could get stuff wrong with a lot of people, but if you have a deep love for them, it's going to make up for a lot of mistakes, right? So this isn't about like earning right standing with God or something. It's about you can have a good relationship with somebody even when you make some mistakes if you really, really love them, right? Like it can make up for some problems. But what I share with my group, being vulnerable, I ask them to pray for me about like, honestly, guys, like I'm super tired this week and I haven't been sleeping well and I feel too tired to love people better than I've been loving them, right? Like Joe's like, I was in the room, right? Like I remember you saying that. So I asked for the guys to pray for me about it, right? Like I don't feel capable to love better than I've been loving. So I'm going to ask other people to pray for me about it, right? Sometimes you see something in Scripture like that sounds good and I don't think I can do it. It's not terrible to be in that spot as long as it doesn't become an excuse, right? As long as it becomes I better ask somebody for help. At the very least, asking God for help, right? But even better to ask other people for help. I had a couple different guys say, how did you sleep, Jake? I slept a little better, right, last couple days, so thank you guys for praying for me on that. But this idea of, we go into that a lot. Here's the next one is important for us. Verse 9 has this angry lady, right? It says, offer hospitality without grumbling. Sometimes we start doing the right thing, and we do it for a while, and eventually we start grumbling, right? We don't just go out off the deep end, but we start grumbling about doing the right thing. If you're grumbling about doing the right thing, then there's a problem. Does that make sense? You shouldn't ignore your heart condition once the grumbling starts. It doesn't necessarily mean like, quit everything you're doing right away or something, but it means like there's a big problem, right? I can remember I changed the oil in my car. This was a lot of years ago, different car, and I forgot to put the plug in, and so I drove my car just leaking oil everywhere, right? And if that I don't recommend ever doing that, but if it happens, there, at least in my little car, there's this clicking noise that started. So it didn't just like immediately seize up and explode. There was this clicking noise I'd never heard before, right? I didn't know exactly what was wrong, but I knew I just changed the oil, and I'm hearing a noise I've never heard before. So this is back when I was still living with my parents. I turned my car around and got home. As I came home, I learned what I did wrong because there was a streak of oil in my parents' street, right? You know, I was like, I think I figured out what's wrong with the car, right? I just hope I can get home before the engine seizes up. Okay, random story there, right? If I'd ignored that clicking, I would have totally ruined my car, right? When you're grumbling and if you ignore that, you're running that same sort of risk. Like, this isn't something to mess around with. Like, what's deep inside of you is dried up. And if you keep doing the right stuff with a dried up heart, like, it gets bad, right? You need to turn it around and get to your dad's house, right? Like, you need to turn it around and be like, Dad, I think I messed it up, right? Like, my dad immediately knew what I'd done, and right, I mean, like, I could even figure out what I did, right? But my dad and I fixed it, right? And it was pretty easy to fix because I stopped what I was doing and went to him, right? A lot of times, if you're grumbling, if you just stop what you're doing and go back to God, like, it's not crazy to fix your heart a lot of times when grumbles first start, you immediately turn around, right? It's interesting to note in verse 9, it says specifically when you're offering hospitality. Hospitality is a spiritual gift. Sometimes we don't give it that sort of credit. Like, some people host as if Jesus himself were the host. We sometimes in Christianity think like preaching or leading worship or healing people, like that's the really respectable things. But Jesus is showing up in some people's life to make them a host like him. And it's not lesser of the Holy Spirit doing that through them, right? But I think a particular temptation to the hosts out there, if you got the spiritual gift of hosting, like, pay attention to this. Like, grumbling is a real specific temptation to that spiritual gift. Because when you host people the first time and you show up like Jesus, everyone's going to thank you. And that's cool that they thank you, but what that's going to put in you, if you're not careful, is this, like, expectation of being thanked. And anybody that's been a mom of kids, like, and hosted children for a long time, you know, like, motherhood will burn that expectation for thanks right out of you, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be able to be it, right? But others of us that haven't hosted daily, folks that we're just, like, hardwired to love, like, sometimes we get into our feelings about, like, nobody's thanking us. And eventually we start complaining even as we continue to host, right? Little bit further. Because here's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Some of you are like, I don't have the gift of hosting. I'm a terrible host. So this verse isn't for me. And you throw it out. That's a foolish step, right? Because if you're not gifted at hosting, my guess is you're going to then be at tables or at whatever where you're being hosted. And if you can see the temptation that your brothers and sisters are going to face, then you can help them with it, right? How would you help with this one, right? Be aware that they have a giant temptation to grumble and to be pessimistic and to feel taken advantage of. And all you have to do is thank them when they host you, right? Like, you're helping them carry what's going to be a temptation for them, right? We kind of diverged a lot there, right? We haven't gotten into too much about spiritual gifts, but a lot of times we're clicking into spiritual gifts, we're thinking about, I want power, and I want to be useful, and I want other people to need me. Like, those aren't very healthy heart sets, right? And I think what Jesus wants to teach a lot of us is how to love each other better. And when you understand other people's spiritual gifts, a lot of times you'll understand what they need, right? You probably have a host in your life, whether it's your own mom, or whether it's somebody in this room, you have somebody that hosts you regularly. And realize, like, they're tempted to be pessimistic and grumble, right? And to get hard-hearted. And how can you love them through that temptation? If we will show up and deeply love other people, like, we're going to be a good part of this body, whether we have our spiritual gifts totally figured out or not, right? But before we get further from grumbling, one other thing on grumbling. If you've been grumbling and you've been serving Jesus a bunch or trying to serve others a bunch, I do want you to take a real hard thought on, like, should I say no to some of this stuff I'm doing? Am I doing too many things? Now, when I say that, some of your hearts look like this little picture. You're, like, so excited because some of you are like, I feel so guilty to say no, but now I can drop everything I don't want to do because I have a spiritual reason to be like, I can't do that anymore because Pastor Jake said so, right? And I can just drop nursery duty or whatever random thing you're wanting to drop, right? It's worth, if you're struggling with grumbling, it's worth looking at your life and saying, am I doing too much? But it needs to be a conversation with Jesus. And the thing you like to do the least, just have a conversation with him about it. Like, is this loving? Is this the one you want me to cut? Or is it something else? Just don't use it as like a license to silence your own conscience. Use it as like a conversation starter with Jesus. Jesus is going to invite you to do something. And there's going to be days where you don't want to do it, but he'll talk to you about it if you ask, right? If he cares about it, okay? Okay, our key verses for today, verses 10 and 11. I got this picture of, again, garden stuff for me. So verses 10 and 11 talk about spiritual gifts very specifically, and it says, everybody's got these gifts. Use them to serve other people. Be a faithful steward of it. What am I getting at with that? Well, so this is random stuff from my garden at some point. And here's the thing about a garden is you work at it for a while, and at some point, unless it went terribly wrong, at some point you'll have way more than you can eat yourself. Like, that's just the way it works. There's a bunch of weeks of prep or whatever, and then suddenly something's in season and you have like tomatoes coming out of your ears or raspberries coming out, whatever it is, right? In your life, you're going to put effort in. God's going to put a spiritual gift in you, and it may not just like change everybody around you instantly, but there's going to come a time where you got more than enough to share. If you have a teaching gift, Jesus is going to give you insights, and at some point, those insights aren't for you to just hold on to and let them rot with you, right? It's to share with other people, right? If you got a hosting gift, God might make you a great cook, right? But it's not just to cook yourself stuff, right? It's to host other people, right? Whatever it is, the gifts he's giving you. And here's the thing about my little garden, right? Like, God made all that stuff grow, but he also gave me neighbors. And I had a neighbor reach out to me around Christmas time that I hadn't talked to in a little while, and it actually surprised me. I thought, why did this guy reach out to me? But basically, most of our interactions have been me giving him tomatoes. And I realized, like, that's not a bad way to go with the neighbor, right? Like, when you give, when they see you have a garden and you show up at the house and you're like, we got too many of these, you want some of them, it's a good thing, right? To say, I got an abundance, something God put in my life, and God also put you in my life. And you just put those together. So be asking yourself, like, what's the thing that God's given me a lot of, and who's the person that's right next to me? Like, this stuff isn't rocket science, right? It's like, what's good in my life, and what's a person near me? And you don't have to be a genius, right? You just put them together, right? Something you're slightly good at and something that somebody else could use, right? And you put them together. To go a little further on this analogy, so verse 11, if you're glancing at that, it talks about doing things with the strength that Jesus provides so that he can be glorified. And I do think when you're trying to figure out if something's a spiritual gift or not, when you're loving other people, sometimes you're going to do something and realize, I could have never pulled that off. I couldn't reproduce that. If somebody said, like, you know, I'm going to snap my fingers and Jake do this or that, you're like, I can't believe that happened. And it just, as you're loving people, that sort of stuff will happen. You realize, like, God did something through me I couldn't have done myself. Pay attention to those things. But I want to give you, like, a step up even further than that. It's kind of tied into our 1 Corinthians 12. It's a little out of context here. But these gifts that he's describing, they're not supposed to be used in a vacuum all by yourself, right? So his next picture is, like, I like to garden, I like to grow stuff, but this is a bunch of salsa my wife made. Now, if you have great vision and can see the date, you'll see, like, that was before we had kids. Yeah, that was before we had kids. So I will say, like, it's easier to do random stuff like canning salsa when you got less responsibilities. But what I will say is Chrissy makes incredible salsa. I have no clue how to do that. We'll get figured out to team up with even just one other person. You're going to do stuff that's way better than what you could do on your own, right? So when somebody who has a gift of hosting teams up with someone who has a gift of teaching, which, like, we see this, like, Jerry, if you ever go to 210 with Wayne, Wayne's got a gift of teaching. Jerry, I think, I haven't told you this, he's like, I think you have the gift of hosting, right? Like, there's food and coffee in that room because Jerry can't help himself but to host. And Wayne is, like, an amazing teacher, right? So you have this combo happening. Sorry to put you guys on the spot. I didn't ask you about that. But you have this combo that's different than what either one of them could do by themselves, right? So once you know your spiritual gift, like, team up with somebody that's got something different. What if we blended these things together? Like, what could we do? Okay, we did the read, reflect, just a little reminder here. What was our last R? Answers on the screen, right? React. I want to help you guys figure out, what are you going to do to react? So last couple minutes here, we've got a picture, kind of a random little picture, right? Ladybug, mushroom, some plants. One of our verses talked about, use whatever gift you've received to serve others. I think that was verse 10. When you think about a forest, sunlight is basically like the foundational energy of everything in that forest. But there's a lot of different creatures using that energy in a lot of different ways, right? Use what Jesus has put in you to serve somebody. If you're like, Jake, Jesus put nothing inside of me, if you've asked him for forgiveness, he's put some forgiveness inside of you. And what if you just extended a little piece of that forgiveness to somebody else? Or if Jesus has given you an able body, there's somebody you're going to meet this week who doesn't have an able body. God gave you that able body, like, serve him in some sort of way with that, right? If you don't know all the ways you can serve, serve him with something you do have, right? Be available and realize you might be a ladybug and somebody else is a mushroom or whatever. Like, it's not going to all look the same, right? You don't have to look like the people around you. Just think, like, what's something that God put in me? Something God did for me or gave to me? It might literally be in your pocket right now, right? It might be a vehicle you have and you can give somebody a ride to NA later or something, right? It might be something very simple, but start with what you have and serve somebody. Final thought, the without grumbling, to take us back, that was specifically to hosting, but when you're trying to figure out how to put this into practice, pick something you can do without grumbling, right? Like, let's have a good first step. Like, don't do something that you're grumpy about. And I saw a little kid on Wednesday night down with pizza, and everybody lit up as this kid was giving people high fives, right? He's just a little tiny guy. If you're like, man, I'm kind of a mean person, I kind of am not happy with everything in life right now, find somebody that's easy to love and do something kind for them, right? I mean, like, just get yourself a win right out of the gate of, like, I'm going to do something for somebody with a smile on my face, right? And if you got access to somebody that's under 5 years old, like, serve them in some way, right? Like, you don't have to be over 5 foot to be worthy of being served, right? And it's hard to serve a little kid and not have a smile, right? So do something for somebody with what God's given you, okay? React. I'm going to pray your blessing over us as we close out. Jesus, thank you that we get to be here at Maywood. I pray for the people watching online, the people right here in this room. I pray that each of us would see something that you've given us that can be of service to somebody else and help us obey you by serving them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.